the law firm of Davis and Davis. We're not a real law firm. Go ahead, grab a beer, a glass of wine, sit back and listen.
Mr. Scott.
Yeah, we're here. We're here, barely.
I'm here. No, we're here. We're on this.
I'm awake.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I want you guys to go out there and protect your balls at any cost.
I've been saying that a lot lately. What else did I put in here?
Now we're done feeling our feelings, because I'd like to get out of this room before we both start growing lady parts.
That one. Yeah.
We're going to have to get some quotes from Roadhouse while we're at it.
Oh, yeah. I've got to look that up. Hey, I'm going to do this now so that I don't forget about it, because it is super short this time.
Okay.
It's time for the Davis and Davis Show Motivational Minute.
They say hard work never killed anybody. But remember, what doesn't kill you is putting you under chronic stress medication.
Thank you, self-help sing.
Oh, goodness.
Ladies and
love that, man.
Kansas City, nothing. Cleveland, nothing. It is the top of the second. The tidbit is talking today.
That's sports, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Texas plays Houston at 7:10 my time. That'll be 8:10 your time. If you want
basketball?
No.
Football.
Not baseball.
Oh, okay.
But Texas is in, the Texas Rangers are in first place.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. They're in first place. As a matter of fact, I skipped work last week.
What?
to go with my assistant general manager to a baseball game. Like, yeah,
but you're with a manager. It didn't count. Whatever. I had to go. He told me I had to go.
I'm fine with it, man. Let's go. Let's go. Bought $9 seats. It was dollar hot dog night. I think I spent. Oh. We get there an hour early because I always worry about parking and could not find a parking spot anywhere.
Wow.
So after about a half an hour driving, I drive by parking deck and it says parking is $50.
Oh,
and I was like, screw it, I need to get into the game, we'll go and park. So I pull in, there's a stand there, you know, one of those magnetic thingamajiggies that you stick your card up to. And
okay, yeah,
well, I stick my card up to it and it goes, residents need to get a ticket. And I went, what? So I pressed the ticket button and shoots out a ticket. I'm like, okay, cool.
Okay.
Go in, park. Come out. Get in the car, go down, come to the gate, stick my ticket in. It says $8 for residents. I'm like, stick that credit card in now.
Tap, 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 tap. Have two.
Wow, got to try that again next time. Parking was only nice. $8.
That's a bargain and a half. Good God.
Now, I only got one beer while I was there because the beers were like $12.99. Yeah,
$12.99. That's a six-pack of really good beer. That's a 12-pack of really shitty beer.
after four of the worst hot dogs I ever had, I went and got a soda and some nachos. Like, God, these are horrible, man.
They were a dollar. What did you expect?
Oh, how nasty was that?
These dogs left over from last week. What are we going to do? Dollar dog night, of course.
It's got to be dollar dog night, man. Got to be dollar dog. Well, how did it taste? That bad. Just tasted bad.
It's bad. You okay? It's bad.
It wasn't Mountain Dew. yeah, and the hot dogs were small, man. The bun oversized everything. Literally
made you feel good.
I was like, what the hell you say? And of course my AGM was sitting there and he said,
the hell, that's for white people.
This hot dog makes me feel like a real man.
I am so much of a racist.
There's a touch of madness around here.
All right. I'm just having way too, because I put all my sounds back in. We did a show last week where I had to fill everything up with music. So all my
sounds going through withdrawals.
I am. I'm like, yes. Yes. It's all here now. Even my Bueller. My psycho.
And when I find her, I will marry her.
Never!
And she and I will be happy and my curse will be lifted.
And go off and rule the universe from beyond the grave.
Indeed!
Or check into a psycho war, whichever comes first, huh?
Kurt Russell, man. Best movies ever. And I mean, he's been in some good flicks.
Oh, God, yeah.
He was great in Tron 2. Did we call that Tron 2? What did they call that?
Kurt Russell was not in any of the Tron movies.
Hold on. The second Tron movie, didn't Kurt Russell play the father?
No. Bridges played the father, reprising his role.
That's
now they look alike. I'm going to give you that one.
All right. Well, there was always Captain
Escape
Ron.
Escape from New York and Captain Ron.
Captain Ron, man. What another man. Got to do a deep dive into Kurt Russell.
Yeah, that's another good one. Hold on. I guess it's definitely. Let's see.
Because Captain Ron is one of my favorite flicks. By the way, what are you drinking, my friend?
Ooh. I splurged a little bit and got a fairly nice bottle of bourbon.
Yeah, sent me a picture of it.
Yes, I sent you a picture. It is Baker's Kentucky Straight Bourbon Single Barrel, minimum 7 years old, 107 proof. And my bourbon guy, I have a customer that he and I text each other when like cool bottles of bourbon show up at different shops and stuff like that. And I sent a picture like, hey, they got this and they got, it was Buffalo Trace. They had some there. And he's like, oh, that's a nice bottle of bourbon. I got one at home. It's not the notes that we like the sweet vanilla, but yeah. It's a very, very good bourbon. You can't tell it's 100 proof or plus. It's spice notes more than like the sweet vanillas. So there's like all hints of allspice in there. Oh, maybe almost a hint of anise, which I can't stand, but this is I can't finish a single sentence. This is the pumpkin spice of bourbons. That's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is. This would be great for the fall. Yes, there we go. I have completed two sentences simultaneously. And my goggles. Okay. Oh my no, God. I like it's very, very good. Just not good. Now, I sent you a link to a video and I think maybe not a picture of the package. But I was watching this video on Whiskey Tribe, your guys from Texas.
Yeah.
And they found this cool Brazilian oak. And they make barrels out of this stuff, but they char it and they make these chips. And you can just put a couple, 3-4 chips into your favorite bourbon. And it's like, it starts changing the color and the flavors like after 24 hours. They left a couple chips in this like smaller bottle, like a pint bottle, for like 48 hours. And they were like, oh my God, it's sweet. And like vanilla and marshmallow flavors. And I'm like, oh, this, I think, and I've ordered some, should be in a couple of days. I may get one of my small bottles out, throw some in here and see how that goes with that. But I'm a little excited about that one. So, and I also go to Woodinville, which, do you get Woodinville down in Texas?
Yes.
The big square bottles, real pretty and everything.
Yeah.
This is a port cask finish, which I'm really excited about because I like Woodinville a lot. And the port cask, I think, is just going to add that extra oomph to it. So, yeah, I'm excited about trying that one out.
Port cask. So,
I've had another one, the bottle that Bob got me for my birthday or something, or helping to fix the boat or something, was a local bourbon finish in port casks, and it was very, very good. You get that flowery and they're really tasty. Because port is a wine liqueur or wine aperitif.
It's an actual wine.
Yeah, but it's a deep sweet wine though.
But it is an ultra sweet wine. So sweet and fruity.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm red excited. Colored. So any of the casks that they were done in get stained really, really deep, and the wood will soak up the flavor.
Oh yeah.
So I'm very interested in this port cask bourbon. I may have to go over to Total Wine and try that out.
I did take a little sip when I got home, and it seems like it's going to be a really good drink.
I am still, at this point in time, dealing with bronchitis.
Oh, my. I see the cough button worked. Good job.
2 weeks now. And a sinus infection has started.
And that was me Monday. Monday, I didn't get hardly any sleep. And I woke up stiff neck. My sinuses were on fire. It was just a miserable day all day.
And if you notice, I'm dressed nicely today.
Yes, you look very pretty.
I'm actually wearing long pants.
Because I'm not wearing pants.
Because I held a meeting today with my marshals and reiterated the same thing that we reiterate every year. Quit being dicks and be nice.
Oh, that we could have that quote from Roadhouse. Be nice until I tell you it's time not to be nice.
Oh my gosh. Sadly, I did go to get some snippets from some movies and my website's gone. I mean, it's not my web. I don't own it, but the website that I use to pull all of the snippets for the show, it's gone altogether. And it sucks because it was the way that it was set up. I didn't have to search for anything. I mean, it had the movies A through F and then a button over here, movies G through
whatever. Yeah.
And it was really, really easy to use. Ooh, my stock went up 2.56%. Cedar Fair's stock is up to 36.85. They nice. dropped down into the 20s last week, or I think it was last week. Scared the hell out. Tidbit.
Shiny things. Just call it what it is.
Tidbit.
Shiny things.
And unfortunately, my Six Flags stock is plummeting.
Yeah, they're not doing so. They've had some issues at some of their parks, haven't they?
Well, I could do a whole show on this. The thing about Six Flags is they got a new CEO. I think it was 2 years ago or maybe 3 years ago. And he's basically changed the model of Six Flags. And what he's trying to do is, what he's done is he raised prices, made it more expensive to go, and reduced a lot of the benefits. Like season pass holders used to get this and this and this. Now, if you're a season pass holder, you have to buy either the bronze package or the silver package or the gold package or the platinum package.
The executive package. If you want to be first in line, it's going to cost you.
Yeah. And his whole idea of doing this was to start getting the riffraff out of the parks, because a lot of people were complaining that the parks were so cheap and people were, you know, just
letting in undesirables.
Yeah.
There goes the neighborhood.
So he did all this, and last year was the first year for it. Sales plummeted like a mofo. And I mean, my stock went from $39 a share down into the 20s. Ew. And they just have not recovered whatsoever. And he went a step further this year by adding in the bronze, silver, gold, platinum packages that you can now buy, which basically makes your season pass holders, why buy it?
Superfluous.
Yeah. And none of the packages get you fast pass. You still have to pay extra for that. So, you know, instead of the $107 that I used to pay for a season pass there, if you want a season pass with all the VIP stuff, you're going to pay $500. I'm like, Six Flags,
I don't think so.
Six Flags isn't worth that. I would pay that for Cedar Point if I lived near Cedar Point.
Or Disney.
Well, honestly, the top two amusement parks in the world are Cedar Point and Disney.
Yeah.
So I don't know where, what else. I mean, I love Busch Gardens. Busch Gardens is heavily themed, a lot like Disney World or Disneyland. But Cedar Fair and Cedar Point has always been really kind of the upper echelon of amusement parks to go to. It's not just the rides, it's the experience.
Yeah.
It's the fact that you walk down the midway in Cedar Point and you see five people with trash
brooms
and brooms. I mean, it is the best kept amusement park, I think, in America besides Disney. But Disney World was built to do that. All the trash cans in Disney World are
down in the ground, and they're never full.
Yeah, they're
automatically
automatically get sucked out and taken to a trash dump underground. It's the best thing in the world. You don't have to.
Well, that was the thing they purposely did down in Florida, is they built it up like a full story above the ground so they could have all the underground tunnels for the people to go here and there and everywhere and trash and get food here and there. And it was brilliant.
Well, that's the castle in the middle is basically the center hub of all of the tunnels. And they were so freaking smart in how they did this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you could get from one side of the park to the other side of the park in about 10 minutes, where if you did it up on top, it would take you 45 minutes to get across. Just
all right.
Walt Disney. Ooh, you know what? There's another one that we have to do.
Talk about Disney, huh?
talk about Walt Disney, his and the empire that he built there in Disney World, because there's a lot of super cool stuff that people don't know about Disney World. Oh, I'm more apt to do that next week than what we said.
Stop ripping out my chair, cat. Our dinger is going to go off. Did you do anything else interesting other than go to a ball game and look at little wieners?
No. Oh,
the hell, that's for white people.
Because I didn't do anything really that interesting last week. I remember.
Little wieners.
Emotional damage.
I don't even know.
Big pickup trucks. Beanie wieners.
You like movies about gladiators.
Did I do anything else this week? Well, I forgot to get my car inspected.
Oops.
I've lost my registration form. So now I've got to figure out how to do it online without a registration form, which I think you can do, but
figure it out.
Fun times. Fun times. What else happened? Oh, I don't know if I should talk about that. I went to work 45 minutes late on Saturday.
Why?
Overslept. I mean, it was okay. Nothing serious that I thought. Everything, it was the busiest day I've ever seen at the golf course. And I show up 45 minutes late.
That draws a little attention to you, doesn't it?
Whoa. So, like I said, everything goes to shit. And there was about 8 different things that happened through the day. And it threw everything into turmoil. Well, I had a meeting in Oklahoma that afternoon at 4:30. I was off at 2. So I worked from 6 in the morning till 2. Well, 6:45 until 2. And I walked into the office. I'm like, things are not good, but I have to go. They were like, okay. 5 hours later, I get a message from the GM. We trusted you.
Oh, God.
You fucked us. You came in an hour late. And I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. So I sat back and I waited. I waited until probably 11 o'clock to write a response. And I wrote the response directly to him. I mean, he had CC'd his message to the AGMs and everyone. So I wrote him back and I start the letter off. Totally, I'm like, listen, I take responsibility for the things that happened today. But I think you really need to look at everything that happened. And I went bullet point by bullet point by bullet point through everything. And at the end of that, I said, I don't care how much of a Superman you guys think I am, but if I'm understaffed, I can't do my job correctly, because we were short-staffed on Saturday and had 500 people play golf. That's probably the most amount of people that we've had go through there this year in a day. And with only having one marshal and myself, you're never going to make it. You're never going to make it. 36-hole golf course. I can't be everywhere. And then to top it off, the AGMs were trying to help me, but the GPS was glitching. So they'd be like, go head over to hole number 9. I drive over there. They're like, oh, there's a two-hole gap there, two-hole gap. And I pull up and I'm like, well, no, there's someone on the green. There's someone teeing off. There's someone on 8. I'm like, there's no problem here. So now you've pulled me away from the problems that I was dealing with to come deal with this. And there's no problem. After about an hour and a half of it, I was like, Jordan, stop calling this shit out because it's not helping. We got to quit chasing ghosts and go after the problem. Jordan was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Kendrick's looking at you, just so you know.
Oh, good old Kendrick.
I can't get down far enough.
It's just Kendrick.
There he is.
There's my boy. Look at my pretty boy. Oh, my gosh. He's going to let you pet him.
He's actually purring for once. What the hell?
I'm just waiting for the claws to come out.
No, he's just going like, yeah, let me go.
All right.
Anyway, okay.
I guess we need to take a break.
We do.
We've been talking now for...
Hipsing for 22, 24 minutes.
Whatever. I got a headache today, too. Oh, my tidbit. My tidbit. 5 o'clock in Navajo Nation.
Are they 10 minutes ahead of the rest of the world? Get out of there. Get out.
Well, no. It's okay. It tells me who is in the 5 o'clock hour.
Oh, I get you.
So that I can drink to them. Putin Bay Vacation 52 days and 15 hour or 52 days. 3 hours, 15 minutes before I leave. And it's 101 here in Bedford, Texas right now.
No, thank you.
Who the fuck talked me into moving to Texas?
That's only 81 down here.
That's okay. In about 30 seconds, I'm going to be able to tell you what the temperature is in Put-in Bay. But first, we have to go through all the weather alerts, which are basically just saying, it's fucking hot down here, guys.
It's hot and wet.
It's fucking hot, man.
I want you guys to go out there and protect your balls at any cost.
Have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Oh, God. All right. We're going to go take a break because, I don't think that Bob Kansas is coming on.
Did you invite him?
Hell no.
Oh, well, he's probably not.
I don't think he's coming on.
It's 79 degrees in Put-in Bay, just, you know.
But I really, 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 really just don't think that he's going to want to hear some of the things that are said. We got a very interesting show for you guys today.
It's on the DL. It's a little hush-hush.
Yeah, what... Anybody who's friends with Bob Kanza, please don't let him. Don't tell him about this podcast.
Friends don't let Bob listen to this show.
Bob is on the entry list though, so he's gonna go and race.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I texted him. I think he said he thinks he is in class 3. So he thinks.
Well, he pretty much won his class before, so. We'll see what he does this year.
Yes. And he didn't blow up an engine this year, so he's sitting good.
Yet.
Yeah. All right. Maestro.
Oh, shit.
I don't have a button. Find you a button there, Scotty.
No, I heard the skull horn go off, and that means that my ex-girlfriend's texting me. What the hell?
Yeah. Nothing could go wrong there. Nothing bad could happen.
Nothing at all.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
See ya.
I get a very bad feeling. That Burke and I are going to feel the wasted away again. In Putin Bay.
It could be ugly. Uglier.
It's going to be uglier than last year because of the fact that the race ends on Thursday. I've got the hotel room till Saturday. So I have a bad feeling that Bob Kanza Thursday night is going to want to go drink. And then we have a Friday night on Putin Bay Island. For those of you that don't know, Putin Bay Island is actually not Putin Bay Island. It is South Bass Island in Lake Erie, just outside of Sandusky. You can actually see Cedar Point from the island. It's a great place to go and visit. Summertime antics include everything from half-naked women in pools to half-naked women on boats.
Hold on, we have an update here. Hold on. Mary Kanza has just taken first place at the Summit County State Fair for a costume, and I just sent you a picture. I believe that is her Mother Christmas outfit.
Oh my gosh.
Their whole attic is nothing but sewing. She's got a serger upstairs. I mean, it rivals the one at Akron U. Serger, two different machines. Just stuff everywhere. I mean, she can make any, given enough time, she can make anything from scratch. She's pretty effing amazing. Well, she also will go out to thrift stores.
Yeah.
Grab stuff. It's pirate-ish. And then sew stuff on, change it up, everything. And she sells pirate outfits up in Putin Bay early in the season for Pirate Fest. And mm-hmm. I think she made like $4,000 this year just selling costumes.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, congratulations, Mary. Good job.
When they opened Disneyland in 1956, nothing worked.
But John, the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down. The pirates don't eat the tourists.
I love the Pirates of the Caribbean. congrats, Mary. Good job. Good job. Hey, today's show is all about Put-in Bay. And
because we're getting excited.
We're going to start the show with a little bit of the history of Put-in Bay. Then we're going to talk about the things that we like to do at Put-in Bay. And then we're going to go into the race at Put-in Bay. And then we're going to go into the antics that we had last year, including some interviews with a couple of drivers, three of them, to be exact. Maybe some blow-up doll talk, bachelorette parties. Who knows?
There's Who knows?
A whole lot here to celebrate. I said celebrate, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I've got some hookers in my room. What do you say we go celebrate? My treat. No, thanks. I think I'll just stick with the scarf here, but thank you, though. Suit yourself, queer.
I have drops again. It's bad.
Dodgeball. I love that movie.
Dodgeball. All right. So like I said, this is an island just off the coast, off the Ohio coast. Most people didn't realize that Ohio had a coast, but it does have a coast. It borders Lake Erie. Located in the shallow western end of Lake Erie is a group of 20 or more islands.
Some of them are tiny.
Some of them are like, you could pull a boat up to them and put maybe five people on it, but it's still an island. One of these islands, alternately called Put-in Bay, is South Bass Island. It served as a base of operations for Oliver Hazard Perry. Probably the most brilliant naval admiral there ever was. Extremely smart. He fought in the War of 1812 against the Brits. The British. Apparently the British didn't like America in the beginning.
Weird. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. He's known for giving the Americans victory in battle on Lake Erie. He served in the United States Navy, a memorable slogan of positive accomplishments. He stated the line, "We have met the enemy and they are ours."
I've heard that quote, and apparently Put-in Bay Harbor was used by Perry as his base of operations. So
yes, I thought I said that. Sorry, people. I did not mean to cough into the damn microphone. I got a freaking button here too.
He could quickly sail to Sandusky Bay for conferences with Harrison, scout the British forces at Fort Malden in Ontario and the Detroit River.
Correct. Put-in Bay Harbor was used by Perry as his. You already went over all that. The Battle of Lake Erie began at 11:45 a.m. and ended a few minutes after 3 p.m. British supremacy on the lake came to an end with the capture of the entire enemy fleet of 6 vessels. Congratulations, Oliver Hazard Perry.
Good job. We should build a monument to him. Oh, wait.
Didn't he also... Wait. Oh, yes, there is a monument
there.
Yeah,
we did that. Yeah, cool. Good job.
Let's see here. I do believe it's a 300... Oh, God. I wish they had not said it.
Did they list it as a massive erection?
This 352-foot granite shaft... commemorates not only a naval battle but a peace which has lasted for more than 150 years
and the big dick energy of Mr. Perry. Okay.
You like movies about gladiators?
Oh, so read that in advance, God. Huh? This massive erection has been standing tall over Button Bay for over 100 years.
Oh my gosh. There's even more. Wait. Today there stands at Button Bay a beautiful Greek Doric column. Doric.
Yeah, it's a phallic symbol.
Lysistrata on Putin Bay Island.
She won something else. Some fucking Le Mans shirt. Whoa. All right, I'll send that to you too. Maybe.
All right, post-war. Putin Bay history, everyone. After the War of 1812, Ashiel Johnson lived on Putin Bay for 3 years.
What's his first name again?
Ashiel. Wait, Shell. Yeah.
Not Ashiel.
It's spelled A-S-C-H-E-L-L, but the pronunciation is Shell.
Okay. Shell ass Johnson. Is silent.
It's ass.
The ass is silent. Is Jordan showing up?
Sure did not sound like that ass was silent. But he lived in Putin Bay for 3 years. The next settlers were Henry and Sally Hyde, who came in 1818. The Hydes brought 500 head of sheep. So basically, Putin Bay Island became a sheep farm. The first permanent settlers,
you got to admit, that's brilliant. Where are they going to go? It's not like they can run away.
Well, the next...
There's not like coyotes and crap going to kill them there either. That's brilliant.
So A.P. Edwards came in onto the island and began to develop it. He is the one that brought laborers in to build the docks that are still there now, so that you could actually dock larger ships and take the sheep off. The first permanent settler... Now, remember, most of those people would come out to the island for the summer to raise sheep and all that, and then they would go away.
Because there was no way to get out there in the middle of winter because it was 1800s.
The very first permanent settler to come to Putin Bay was Philip Vroman in 1843. Now, think about this.
He's the great-great-grandfather of Abe Froman, the sausage king of Chicago.
I don't know if you're joking or not, because that's not in my notes, but totally that would joking. Be absolutely hilarious. uh, Yeah, so after that, Put-in Bay Island started to be inhabited and became kind of, what do you call it?
Commercialized? Or?
Well, it became, after 1854, Spanish merchants came in, and that's when it started to become commercialized. And
Joseph de Riviera.
Yes. He bought South Bass Island, Middle Bass Island, Sugar Island, Gibraltar Island, Ballast Island, and Starve Island for the price of $44,000.
Dude, that's 4.4. Now, that's probably $440 million in today's money. 1854. A lot of money back then, man.
Well, if you remember when we were up there, we saw all the wineries that were built on the island and all that. That is what his whole goal was to make wine, because the grape growing on Put-in Bay Island and Middle Bass, South Bass, all of them, the land was really rich. The soil was rich, and it made fabulous grapes. So De Riviera ended up selling parcels, and all of a sudden they started having grapes being grown in the 1850s.
And it was also a place where the vacationists via the steamboat could get away from it all for a few hours.
Correct. It,
resort businesses. After the 1860s, there was about 500 persons that were permanent residents of the Put-in Bay area. Interesting. Okay.
Yes. But by 1866, the majority of the island of Put-in Bay was a farm island. A story in the Sandusky Daily Commercial Register told of the growth of Put-in Bay Township. Islanders owned 103 horses, 165 cattle, 206 hogs, one mule. The fields were planted with wheat, oats, buckwheat, rye, barley, potatoes, sorghum, tobacco, hay, and clover. And the vineyards were the main source of income for the island. Over 72 acres of vines had been planted in 1865. So, wine up there has been around for...
Read the rest of it. Grape production for 1865 totaled 1,117,801 pounds, or 33,805 gallons of wine. Mm-hmm. That's a... I don't care who you are. That's a mess of wine.
Yeah. Yeah. Burke mentioned the steamship era, which in its heyday, it was between 1850 to the 1900s, some of them holding up to 1,500 passengers.
On Lake Erie, really?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Serviced the island on a regular basis. Tourists were treated to a variety of hotels, including 300 by 600 foot Hotel Victory, with 625 guest rooms.
Dude, pull up the picture of that. That place was humongous. That's like a 3-acre, 4-acre. Dude, that's huge.
Yeah, that's not there anymore.
No.
But that would be so freaking cool if they took one part of the island and rebuilt that.
Couldn't afford that, but yeah, that would be cool.
Oh yeah, we could not afford that at all. To this day, Put-in Bay has become a summer resort destination. There are several hotels, including the Commodore, that have pools that literally have bars built into them.
You can swim up to the bar.
Swim up to the bar.
Not when we visit them, but when it's warmer outside, you can swim up to the bar.
Well, we could have swam up to the bar, but nobody's going to serve us, A, and B, it was way too freaking cold. I don't have the stats anymore. I'm really upset by that.
Sorry.
I had the stats of the amount of visitors that they had a year. But I don't know what website I found that on, and I apparently closed it. Anyways, we went up there in September. Ooh. Do tell. Did you find it?
Is that a total? Hold on. No, per year, 750,000 guests per year.
On that little ass island.
Nicknamed Key West of the North.
It actually is named Key West of the North, and there is a...
There's a Florida themed bar down there. We're going to hit that place up this year.
Yeah, we're going to hit that place up. But there's a, you know, the Pollard or Bollard that they have down in Key West, the southernmost point of.
Oh, yeah.
There's one in Put-in Bay as well.
Was that the very end of that road that we rode down? Correct. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. We didn't get out of it. It was windy. And we did that long walk first. That was a good walk too, man. That was a great. That was a good time. That was a great pictures down there and just a really great nature walk.
It's this year's going to be totally different. Last year I was almost 300 pounds when I did that trip, and I am 222 now.
Damn, I'm still hovering at 250. So,
I'm stretching it, man. I started rock climbing. Bad idea.
You're too old for that shit, man.
Dude, everything hurts.
I wake up and everything hurts. What are you talking about? I could not do rock climbing. There's no way.
All right. So we've discussed Put-in Bay. We've discussed some
the history, the background.
Now we've got to talk about the shit that you can do there and our favorite places there.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Okay. Are
we mean, all... we'll see. We know the number one place for sure.
The so real bar?
Was it the real bar? That was the first place we stopped.
Yes.
By accident. We walked out our hotel and down the little alley, and it pretty much dumped you right there. We're like, oh, there's a little, right out here on the deck. Perfect. We'll have some lunch. It was very good.
It was extremely good. Yeah. I'm trying to find. Okay, so let's start with that. The real bar. Bob Gatewood was played there one night.
Now that's later. This is just the first afternoon we got there. We had some lunch, sat out on the little deck outside. Very pleasant. Very, very pleasant.
Yeah.
What was it? Burgers and fries, I think we had, and something else. And they've got malt vinegar, bless their hearts.
Thank God. I mean, the fries were to die for.
And then.
But after that, we went down to Heinemann's to meet up with Bob Kanza. And Heinemann's is a winery.
Been there quite a while.
We went to Heinemann's twice because we went and did their wine tasting the one day and did the tour of the winery itself. I did do that with you, right? I didn't take somebody else.
No, okay. There was nobody else. It was just
Heinemann's wine.
I talked us into that because I had gone down into the geode cave as a kid. And I had to do it again. It wasn't that thrilling for you, but it was like.
No, it was. It actually.
Did you like it?
Okay. I was completely enthralled with how they had that carved out first off, and the fact that it was still pristine at this point in time. And the coolest part of it was it's 78 degrees in Put-in Bay with 79% humidity, just so you know.
It's always like 70 degrees down the cave all year round.
I was going to say the coolest part of it was that we started walking down and the temperature dropped 10, 15 degrees.
Yeah, it was a hot day that day too, man.
Yeah. I was like, this is so freaking cool.
Then you're walking around in the middle of a big geode. It was just like, wow.
Yeah. So that was our first day. I don't want to get into the racing stuff. I want to talk about our favorite things to do on the island before we get into the racing stuff.
I think it was the next day that we went across the street, wasn't it?
To the bar across the street?
No, the butterflies.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I think it was the next day because we got a cart.
Yeah.
It was a little on the cold side. We went all the way down to the very end near the boat docks and did the big Put-in Bay sign.
Yes.
At the state park down there. That was cool. That was very cool.
And that was, okay, the butterfly thing was incredibly cool.
Yeah, it's worth the, I don't know what it was, 10 bucks, 12 bucks, whatever. We got in there, it's like 83 degrees and 89% humidity. We're like, oh God, this feels good. But there's so many butterflies in that place. It was just really, really amazing and just cool. It's like, it's not drinking and cohorting. It was just very cool. Like, I don't know other way to explain it.
Yeah. On that second day, we went to Hooligans too, the Irish pub on the island.
Is that the one down from the winery?
No, it was over down the street from the real bar.
Oh, yeah. The one where I have the other picture. Yes. Yeah, we had lunch there, correct?
Yeah, and it was...
Yeah, it was very good also.
It was really good. Yeah, I was very surprised. Now, remember, it's on an island. You're paying island prices, whether it's in Lake Erie or the Caribbean. You're paying a hell of a price for everything. But
yeah, we stopped off in Cleveland right after you got off the plane, had this amazing lunch at this bar, and it was like, you know, I don't know, 10 bucks, and we were stuffed. We couldn't finish it all. We go over to all of a sudden we're on the island. Oh, that's a $20 plate of food, and you'll finish it. You might want a little bit more. It's just, it's all more expensive, but the food quality was excellent.
Where do we go from there? What was the next thing that we did?
I think that evening was the car show at the winery.
Yes, that was back at
that was at Heinemann's.
Heinemann's. All right. What were the other favorite parts of Put-in Bay that you liked? For me, it was the real bar.
I liked showing you the ship house.
Oh my God. I still have pictures of that somewhere. There's a house where somebody literally took half of a ship.
They took the front end of one of the ore ships, like the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Cut it off, hauled it up onto the island, God only knows how, and made it into a house.
Oh my God, it was, I don't
know. The ferry ride over is kind of fun too, you got to admit.
Well, the ferry ride over is really good. It, a little bit expensive for a round trip. That was what, 70
that was
bucks?
With a car.
Yeah.
It's but, a lot cheaper if you're just walking.
I'm going to have a convertible.
They're going to charge you the same amount.
70 bucks.
Yeah, I got you. Don't worry.
We're not talking about the Honda Cash.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we are. All right, so I'm going through my pictures, and like the first day was the Irish bar,
right.
Heinemann's, and the car show was that day, I believe, because I think we stopped over at the airport and was talking to Bob and them and whatever. I think the next day, let's see, that's the 21st. Yeah, the next day we kind of did the tour of the island.
Yeah.
We got the cart that day. Cruise past the monument, did the nature walk. Those are gorgeous pictures. That's when we went to the real bar, sat outside and had lunch. Went down to the end. Yep. Okay. There we go. Putin Bay pictures. Yep. It was windy that day too. Then we watched some of the qualifying races that night.
Yes.
No, actually, it looks like we might have had dinner in the Irish bar that night.
I do believe you are correct.
Okay, so that might have been dinner. Yeah.
Oh, shit, there's the boathouse.
Yeah, Benson Ford.
Oh, the next day we went on our nature walk and shot some videos of the islands around us.
I think that was the same day we went downtown to the wharf and had soup.
That was at the boardwalk, was it?
That was on the 22nd. So that was our third day there. Sorry. I had been up to the island once before years ago. Carl's like, hey, want to go up to the island in the limousine? I'm like, okay. You want to bring the girls? Okay. So he drove the limo all the way up there, and we, yeah, just kind of cruised around the island. We had that lobster bisque soup there and all sorts of fun stuff.
Oh, by the way, people, PJ McIntyre's was the name of the bar in Cleveland. Irish bar in Cam's Corners.
So good. So good.
The fish and chip, the fish was so big it did not fit on the plate.
Yeah, both ends were over the ends of the plate. It was amazing. The sauce that they had for it was homemade. Oh god, it was so good.
Oh, it was incredibly awesome. What was the name of that restaurant that we went to that had the lobster bisque? The lobster?
I'm looking. The boardwalk?
I think it was the boardwalk. I didn't take a picture of it.
The boardwalk.
I am so bad at stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a Rita's Cantina Mexican food. There's the boardwalk. Yeah, it's the boardwalk is where we had the, yep.
So the boardwalk has it was a clam chowder. Sorry.
That was lobster bisque.
Oh, it was lobster bisque.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I lived in Rhode Island for a while, for a couple of years. I'm going to tell you right now, that lobster bisque was some of the best lobster bisque I've ever had. Next time I go to Put-in Bay, I am going to go eat there twice just to get lobster bisque. It was to die for. Real bar, we went there. Did we go to, what was the?
We should try the Boathouse Bar and Grill. They have very good reviews.
Yeah, I was just reading that. I don't think we went there, though.
Nope, we did not. Actually, we stopped there and had lunch with the girls, and I took a short sleeve shirt, and I got cold as hell up there. I bought the a long sleeve kind of hoodie thingy.
The green room at Mr. Ed's, was that the martini bar that we went to?
That I was pretentious asshole at? Probably.
Oh, you weren't that
bad. At least I'm aware of my shortcomings.
We had some Cameo's pizza while we were there. Bob had some.
Yep. We will have to stop by the Roadhouse Bar and have a drink there. That is a quintessential bar in Put-in Bay.
The Roadhouse. Where's the Roadhouse?
It's the big round one.
Oh,
literally down the street from our...
hotel room. They were not open on the weekdays.
That's right.
We were there. So that's one of those that we have to go to on the weekend. I've been in that bar a couple of times.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's well worth it. It's fun. Goat Soup and Whiskey. Was that the restaurant that we went to where we ate inside, we were upstairs?
Yes.
Okay. Goat Soup and Whiskey.
Oh, the pierogies were killer. Holy cow. A little pricey-er, but oh, well worth it. Holy cow. Yeah, we were trying to get food downstairs, but they had nothing but beer. The beer garden was downstairs.
Yeah.
Goat Soup and Whiskey, definitely a very nice. Very pretty on the inside.
Yeah, I mean, and the wait staff was incredibly good.
Yeah, it was a good all around experience.
Had a very, very good time up there. If you have not noticed, the theme of the Put-in Bay trip is eat, drink,
and be merry.
Eat, drink, sleep. That's all we need to do. Now, one of the places that I want to go and see this time is the Put-in Bay Brewery and Distillery.
David, what?
Yes, it is centrally located downtown at Catawba Avenue, right next to the Put-in Bay Police Department. Perfect place.
It's good thinking on their part.
Public intoxication? Not a problem.
All right, so we've got Hooligans, Mojito Bay, Mossback. Where are you looking? I'm looking.
The Put-in Bay Brewery and Distillery details a rotating menu of craft brews on tap. Delighted brewery customer or on tap, delighting brewery customers all summer long. From stouts to wheat beers and IPAs, the Put-in Bay Brewery creates wonderful beers.
Well, I'm just not seeing it on the map then.
Just look for the police department. Let me see here. I can actually tell you the address.
It's the Put-in Bay Winery.
It is 441 Catawba Avenue.
I guess I did. Oh, there we go. I was not.
Isn't that right?
Zoomed in enough. It is literally one building down from.
From the real bar.
The real bar, yes.
Yeah.
Oh no!
We did go there. Okay.
We had dinner that night with a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we had one more. It's 77 degrees in Put-in Bay right now, people.
Yep, that's the place. Yeah. We were definitely there.
Beers on tap. Here, listen to this.
We had a couple and they were really good.
The South Bass Milk Stout, the Chocolate Malt, the Watermelon Wheat, Strawberry Basil Wheat, Raspberry Mocha Stout. Oh my God, I want to try that. And you can get a 32 ounce growler to take home with you.
Yeah, just what we need.
Just with the Battle of Willet.
Wait. There is a Shiphouse Vodka and Noble Cut Distillery that we could throw a rock from our hotel room and hit.
Really? I don't see that on my list here.
All right, so if you zoom in on our hotel and the pool, if you're on Google Maps.
I'm getting there.
There is like a shite ton of, it looks like, golf carts going north of that towards the main avenue, Delaware. And just slightly to the left, Shiphouse Vodka and Noble Cut Distillery. 5-star ratings, bar, right next to the green room. Looks like it's a small place, but it's worth trying out.
Zooming in right now. And you said it's right next to the green bar?
Yep. So you got our hotel, and you go north to Delaware Street. There's Mr. Ed's bar on one side, Put'n Bay Hotel on one side. On the other side is the Shiphouse Vodka Noble, and the green room's to the left of that. All right. Got another place to try out.
Here. Okay, there's our hotel. There's Delaware. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And you said it's right next to the green room?
Yeah. To the right of the green room, right next to all those carts.
Yes.
Yeah, zoom in kind of.
Okay. We can definitely try that.
Because we could crawl home from there.
I'm all about crawling home. We did that one night. I mean, I actually saw Burke dance.
It was not a pretty sight.
That was scary.
My legs were killing me the next day. Oh my dear God.
That was killing me. And I don't know who it was that kept bringing us syringes full of shots.
Some asshole kept buying these jello shots and syringes. I don't know who it was.
I know that I bought two. I bought two rounds. I think Cigar Lady bought one round or two rounds. Oh my God, the jello shots were going. Dude.
But they're like three shots worth of, they're horrible. They were bad.
50-year-old men should not be doing jello shots. And Bob Kansas older than us.
I don't know how they do it. I honestly don't know how they do it.
I don't know. Hey, we are close to a break here. I think we're going to take it a little bit early. Someone's bladder is saying, I'm screaming.
It's time to go, old man.
We've talked enough about what's on the island. Now we're going to talk about the race, people.
Yes.
Going to give you the history of the race. Then we're going to give you the schedule for the race. And then we're going to listen to some interviews and stuff that we did last year.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
We'll be right back.
See ya.
Okay, I am dancing so hard over here. All of my screens are bouncing.
So I take it you've seen this movie.
Yes.
I love this movie. I got a lot of hate from a lot of people. I love this movie, man. I don't know. It was like, oh, it's too cartoonish. It's about a cartoon. Come on. It was awesome.
No, I loved it. It was a great flick. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We're talking now about the Put-in Bay Race.
Yeah.
Gonna
got
give
some history.
You, gonna give you some history here. The Put-in Bay Road Race and Sports Car Race. Oh, wait. How about the history? The tiny island of Put-in Bay hosted sports car races that were conducted by the Cleveland Sports Car Club and the Northeast Ohio region of the Sports Car Club of America, SCCA, which I used to be a member of. I do believe Burke was a member of.
I think I was at one time, yeah.
One weekend each year, every year, from 1952 to 1959. There was one additional race in 1963 coordinated by the Detroit region of the SCCA. But the race was abruptly halted when a competing Elva sports racer went off course to avoid a dog.
Whoops.
And crashed heavily, fortunately without injury to driver or spectator. Now remember, people, this race used to be run through the streets of
Put-in Bay with bales of hay on the corners. That was all the safety gear they had.
The cars that competed in those races were small sports cars with under 2000 cc engines. And 2,000 cc's of displacement and sport racers. Purposely built close wheel racing cars.
And number of safety precautions were taken in the inaugural Put-in Bay race in 1952. Limited to racers with 1.5 liters or smaller. Or production sport cars of 2 liters or smaller. Okay. Just give you an idea, the 2019 Camry is a 2.5 liter engine, so they would not qualify.
The drivers were strictly amateurs racing for fun, but
they weren't even wearing flame retardant jumpsuits. A helmet and goggles were mandatory, and there was only a lap belt in the car.
Many of these racers went on to become racing giants.
Dude, they were, no roll bars were required. Oh my God.
The racing giants that I'm talking about include Carl Haas, Chuck and Susie Dietrich, Chuck Stoddard, Tom Payne, Ralph Durbin, and a long list of others. Despite the challenging roads and difficult spectator control, there is no record of any major incident ever happening at a
except for the one time that the car went into a water. It was not during the race. It was on the night before.
One of the guys that we met last year, Goodwin, wrote a book about the history of the Put-in Bay race, and you can find the book for sale at mcfarlandbooks.com. just do a search of Put-in Bay, and the title is The Put-in Bay Road Races 1952 to 1963, written by Carl Goodwin.
Yeah, we saw that name a lot.
Yeah, they, well, not only did Bob Kanza talk about Carl Goodwin, but everyone that we ended up talking to, Carl Goodwin was a huge promoter of this race. And is one of the biggest reasons that it's still happening today. We were talking about our time there, and one of here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the schedule for the race this year, and we'll talk about what happened at that point last year at that point in time.
Because we got there a little late. We didn't realize it, but we got there a little late.
This year, Sunday, September 17th, is going to be the start of the kickoff of the race. And this is actually a very cool time because all the race cars come over on Miller's Ferry and they parade over to the airport. It's really kind of a neat thing to see. The Miller's Ferry boat will leave at 7:30. So get there at 1:30. They will do the antique car parade. Now, we get there Monday, September 18th. On September 18th, there is from 10
registration, basically, from 1 to 5.
Racing exhibition paddock parking and registration at the airport terminal, blah, blah, blah. It's not until the September 19th, my birthday.
Yeah, from 8 to noon, there's nothing but like roving tech and all the paddocks, registration at the airport terminal, blah, blah, blah. But at 12:30, we got the setup.
We've got the setup over at Heinemann's Winery, where they will judge all the cars. This is the car show itself. So from 1 to 3... the displays will be set up. You can go look at the cars. They'll do the judging, all that stuff. At 3 p.m., driver school, which is mandatory for anyone who's new racing.
They suggest everybody attend it, but yeah.
Which Burke and I will have to attend next year because I'm going to have a car. I will have a stinking car in this race.
We'll get one lap, damn it. Well, at least one.
At 4 o'clock, they are going to stage the race cars for the event parade. And this is really kind of a cool, nostalgic thing that they do. That will start at 4:30, and they will do 2 laps of the original race course.
All the way around the island, pretty much.
Yeah, it's so cool. Like, when Burke and I got there last year, we got there just as that event was starting to happen. Like, we saw Bob Kanza drive by.
Yeah.
We were like, Bob, wait. Oh, this is the parade. It's a very neat thing to go and see. If you're coming up to see this, go sit on Main Street and just wait for the cars to come by. It's just amazing to see these cars from the 1930s and 40s and 50s and 60s coming by you and knowing the history of the cars.
And there's so many different classes. I mean, that's the cool thing. You've got the old school proper British cars. You've got these really cool looking, they look like baby formula cars rolling by. You've got these massive old Volvos, bulbous, they don't look like they should be on a racetrack, and that they do really well. These ancient MGs, you've got Volkswagen Bugs. There's everything in there. It's really a really cool spectacle to watch.
Well, I think my favorite part, though, was going back to Heinemann's. I got to drink for free. And B, they had cheese plates.
and they had a bunch of the race cars there. And then there's just a bunch of people that bring their old cars to show off.
Well, what was really neat is they have them all parked there. This is post the show. And what was really cool was Burke and I walked around these cars, and the owners would come out, and they have zero problem talking to you about their cars and how they restored it and everything. As a matter of fact, here, listen to this.
Wait. So how do you want it to start?
Oh, just the first off, tell me your name, please. Oh,
okay. So it's Rick Clark.
Uh-huh.
I have a 61 Volvo 544. That the only thing left Volvo is sheet metal glass and the wiper motor.
So you said you had what kind of power plant in this?
So it's a 2006 Pontiac Solstice, and a Solstice 5-speed behind it. And we have a Ford 9-inch Outback, 370 gears, Eaton True Track, and a Mustang 2-style front end. So it's all modern suspension underneath.
Very nice. And what kind of races do you take this to?
So I autocross it regularly with the Akron Sports Car Club,
mm-hmm.
and usually about 10 to 12 events a year. This year we're a little lower, but we do those, and then we do the Bellefontaine Hill Climb.
Okay.
And this is the second time out here for Put in Bay. As I'm told, it's an outlaw race, and they like outlaw cars. So, we have our little place to play. And so basically we'll run it any place somebody will let me run it, and it's driven everywhere. It's driven to every race.
Oh wow.
And driven home. It's never trailered, and it's only cost me one oil pan on a high manhole cover. So
how long have you had this up and running like this?
So I bought the car in 2012 as an empty shell, 6-year build, and 2018 got it out on the road and started racing it. First auto crossing, and then picking up the other events for the chance.
Yeah, we kind of lost it there, but it's really a great time for you to be able to go and talk to the owners of these cars, because myself as a car enthusiast, I want to talk to people that have rebuilt these cars and seen the blood and sweat, tears, the everything that they've gone through to rebuild
bloody them. Knuckles and cursing, right.
And I mean, some of the people that we talk, well, you'll notice that most of the people that you talk to, if they have a British car, they cuss more. Like the guy that had the Porsche, he was very, very happy with what he'd done. But the British car guys, it's like rip everything out and start over.
My third engine this year, mother pus bucket. Yeah, there was that really cool, was it another Volvo that the guy drove up from Florida just for the show? He wasn't racing it.
Yeah, he wasn't racing it, and he drove it all the way from freaking Florida. And we were talking to him
from the south coast of America to the north coast of America just to watch these guys race.
I was like,
a car with no AC. Oh yeah.
I looked at him and I said, what the hell are you thinking? He just looked at me and said, I have no clue. No AC, 90 degrees in Florida.
Not the greatest suspension ever built for a road trip, but you know.
I was like, you at least stopped coming up, didn't you? Yeah, a hotel room with air conditioning. So yeah, that's what happens on that day. The very next day, we have Wednesday, September 20th. This is when they actually set the race course up on the airstrip.
Do you notice the little volunteers encourage thing down there?
Oh yes, I see that. We may have to go do that.
Might have to go do that.
I will definitely be available for any of that. They're just doing tech on that day. Actually, they're not doing tech, just tech. They start practice sessions.
Or the exhibition drivers meeting, practice sessions at noon, 9 to noon.
Practice sessions
are registered streetcars for track touring gate 5. Lunch break. Qualifying. They are 1 to 4. Yeah. There's a ladies' luncheon.
Mm-hmm. Featured marquee race. Oh.
Yo, is that going to be the Japanese stuff?
That's going to be the Japanese stuff.
Okay.
Nissan, so, Toyota. Well, you have the list.
Okay. For 2023, the Put-in Bay Sports Car Races Tuesday through Thursday will honor Japanese marks with an expanded vehicle eligibility for the very first time. Held on the historic Lake Erie Island, this unique vintage racing event has always featured heritage focus. For 2023, organizers plan to celebrate that the Japanese car brands and their collective role in motorsports, in addition to the traditional lineup of entries. Datsun/Nissan, Honda, Mazda, and Toyota entrants built 1990 and prior. My first CRX would qualify for that damn race, son of a bitch. And prior will be eligible for a featured mark discount and join the traditional Put in Bay race groups, generally comprising 73 and earlier cars. The first generation Miatas, the rotary powered RX-7s, the original MR2 coupes, similar under 3-liter pre-91 cars driven by experienced vintage racers, will now be able to take part in the holy grail of old school vintage racing. Yeah, let's see, small bore cars, 52 to 59, vintage car races, blah, 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 today's challenging, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, so we're going to have Jap cars up there, which I'm a little excited about. Now, understand, the very first car I ever remember riding in as a child was my dad's Datsun 200 convertible.
Oh, God.
The very first car I ever remember riding in as a child. Now, unfortunately, he lent that car to one of his friends. And when I came back, it was missing second gear. And there was something at the, they were having a something at the ports where they just could not get parts in. So he got rid of that. And then it was VW bugs from then on out. They were always light blue, every single one of them. But anyway, yeah. So I used to ride in a little Datsun 200. It was a little car.
Ooh. What else do we have here? Wrecker race. yeah, our buddy Kendrick.
Yeah, he's being a butthead. I got him handled now.
Yeah, he really helped us out, and we ended up recording 25 minutes of nothing.
speaking of asshole kitties, there you are. Yes, go away.
Oh, is he back?
For more.
Yeah, go sit on the keyboard. Anyways,
oh, hey. Here he comes too. It never fails. He knows. Look, there he is, right there. You want to scratch him? He's right there on the screen. Yeah. Look, there he is.
He knows I'm here. All I have to do is stick my foot up to the camera, and he'll swipe. Look at my Kendrick. Hello.
All right, now shit, piss off, Ken. Go. And go away.
What's funny is he actually looks at the screen.
Yeah. I'm well, he knows now that the cursor moves around and he bats at my screen. I'm going to see claw marks in my screen one of these days, and I'll have to really kill him.
All right. Anyway, good
excuse to get a better monitor, though, come to think of it.
Ooh. Ooh, yeah. Before we get into the last day, I'll tell you right now, I've been looking at a 32-inch.
Dude, that's what I got now. They're damn near too big if you're not far enough away from them.
Mm.
It's like you have to move your whole neck to see around the whole screen. I would almost prefer a 26 right in front and two ancillary screens to the side than a 32.
Right now, I have a 27-inch in front of me, and I have
two 25 inch monitors on the side.
Yeah, that's about right. And the nice thing is, for the price point, you can get a much nicer, higher
DPI. Higher resolution. I don't even recommend
it. Yeah, better resolution monitor at 27 inches per dollar than you can for 32s.
Well, and I understand that, but the 32 would help me out so much with the games that I play.
Yeah.
But
I mean, how many inches away from the screen are you? Because I know I'm about 15 inches away from the screen. If you're further than 15 inches, 32 is probably.
I'm about 2 feet.
No, yeah, 32 would be actually really good for you then.
Yeah.
So I sit up kind of close, and I'm just like, I'm going to look around. I can't scan with my eyes. I got to, you know.
Let's see. Yeah, I am, 2 feet from the
so you're 24 monitor. Inches, yeah.
But the side monitors I have pulled in, they're about 15 inches away. But the resolution on the smaller screens is so much better.
Yeah.
I have a cheap Acer here in the center, and I really want to get a decent, like a Samsung monitor.
I got an LG, and I'm super happy with this thing.
I like LG as well. There's two brands that I would buy in monitors or TVs, and that's Samsung and LG. LG, usually you can get the glass front, the gloss glass instead of the matte, and it actually makes the picture look better. It makes it pop better. But I digress. Hey.
Anyway, where were we?
We are on the last day of the race.
Hell yeah.
Thursday, September 21st, 8 a.m. driver's meeting. We don't go to that because by that point in time, we've had 3 days of drunk.
Yeah, we're still passed out.
Yeah, we'll show up about
noon.
Noon, 11:30, right around there. About 11:30 because they have lunch break at 12. Race activities from 1 to 4. And I think I have the other schedule here. So Thursday, September 21st. Group 1 races at 9, Group 2 at 9:30, Group 3 at 10.
So they're a half hour earlier. So if
so, we
Bob
will
is
be
correct.
There. We'll be there at 10.
Yeah.
Well, before 10.
We'll have to wake up early. Fuck.
And then his second race should be at 2:00.
2. Yeah.
Then the final, the big put in bay race, the
invitation.
15 lap invitation by invitation only. Race is at 4:00. And it says no open wheel cars. You know what? Last year, didn't they have the open wheels running?
No.
As well? No. So Sharon Cox and
Wonder Woman. Yeah, they were not able to in that one.
Sadly, we do not remember her name, but we just call her Wonder Woman.
Well, that was her outfit. She's done up as Wonder Woman in her race outfit and everything, in her big green car.
She was
Serena? No.
I think it was Serena.
We'll have to go back to that episode and listen.
Yeah. She was just quick as crap.
Well, she's been doing it a long time, and she is also a mechanical engineer.
Mm-hmm.
I know we talked about it originally, but like, she has her car balanced out to within a few ounces per wheel. So it's exactly the same pounds at every wheel exactly, which that's no mean feat.
Yeah. In talking with her, I really, really wanted to get Burke to interview her. I should have gone over and just done the interview because she is incredibly smart about setting up a car. As detailed, like when I used to race in the ARCA Remax series, she's as detailed as we were. I mean, four scales, get it dialed in to where you've only got an 8% cross weight on.
Oh, and then she balance. Also pulled the entire gearbox out and re-geared it for that track.
Yeah. I mean, just a phenomenal group of two girls who I absolutely loved talking with them. They were funny.
Oh yeah, they were great. I hope they're nearby again. That would be awesome.
I'm hoping they're there. This time. Ooh, I can look at the.
I never found the registration sheet. Where was that at?
It's on the front page. Let's see. We have Pert Mailing, Peter Mailing, Eric Pickering. I do not see Serena's name on here. Nancy Blavin, who is driving a. No, they can't be. It says 2000 Corvette convertible.
No, because your partner had a. It wasn't a Mini. What the hell was it? No, it was a Mini.
Yeah, that's right. Her partner had a Mini.
No, the Mini was not geared well for that course.
Oh, Robert Kanza is in group three.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Marty Suckoff, Skip Ryan, Barry Proser. So far, Sharon Cox is the only one in group five, which is going to be the open wheel group.
Wait, she's the only person in group five?
Yep. Formula cars, one entry, Sharon Cox. Which means she'll win.
As long as she finishes. As long as she doesn't do something silly like run out of gas.
Who's in the exhibition? Nobody's in the exhibition race yet.
The invitations go out later.
Right.
They may want to go, well, that guy's way too aggressive. We don't want him. We just.
Streetcars, non-racing. Oh, they have a lot of different groups that are going to be coming to this year. There's a lot of entries for this year's race. So I'm really kind of looking forward to it this year. The parade's going to be much larger than it was last year.
Cool.
Still hoping that Cliff McCandless comes back. Cliff McCandless was a phenomenal guy.
Cool old dude. He was just a cool old dude.
I mean, he was 91 last year, and the car that he drove was a Devon, which was cool in itself.
Don't see many of those out there.
But
there was something about his daughter. Oh, bless you.
His daughter, originally back, I think when he was talking to me about this, he said when he turned 75, he wanted his daughter to take over driving the car. And he watched her run it for a race, and he proceeded to jump into the car, get the clutch wound up so that it was so hard to push in that she couldn't drive, so that he would have to drive it again.
And she was there. She was, you know, she was helping set up, and you know, she was the crew. So
she was the crew, and a good group of people. Anyway, here I'm gonna play the interview I did with him.
So what's your name?
Cliff McCandless.
And how old are you?
I'm 91.
And how long have you been racing?
Well, since back in the 1950s. I started. I crewed for a race car.
Mm-hmm.
I had a repair shop, auto repair shop. And I crewed for this a race car, and then I got into doing some autocross and stuff myself, and I ran his car some, and then I bought this car Devin I got here, and I used it for autocrossing. And then I started hill climbing it after I changed the engine to a larger engine.
Now, she said, I was talking with your daughter. She said that this is not only a Devon body, but...
No, this is a Devon D.
Yeah, full...
As far as I can tell, he made 49 of them. It has its own frame. He built the frame. It's a tube frame. And he built the body and everything. I bought it didn't have wheels or brakes, didn't have some of the front suspension, or didn't have a transaxle or engine. So it was built basically for a Porsche engine or a Volkswagen engine. I bought it from Bill Devon, from the factory, Devon Enterprises, and had it shipped by freight, rail freight, from California, in a crate. So I put it together, and I used it just for a streetcar, and then I started hill climbing it. And then I got into road racing, and so I still just kept this around. And after I got out of road racing, I raced a lot of different cars on road races. But I got out of that. I still had this car, so.
What engine?
The ideal thing for vintage racing.
What engine are you running now?
I'm running a Corvair, Chevrolet Corvair.
Now, you know, the motor mounts don't match a Porsche or a Volkswagen.
No.
So how much modification did you have to do to get that in there?
Well, I had to cut some of the body away a little bit. And one of the big problems is the Corvair runs opposite rotation than what any other engine runs. So it run opposite than a Porsche engine. So I had to reverse the transaxle, because I'm using a Volkswagen transaxle. So reverse the ring gear in it, so it goes the opposite way. And then I eventually had trouble with it jumping out of gear, second and third gear. Anyhow, I finally realized how to repair it. I put the shifting sleeves in backwards. And it's worked fine ever since.
I wouldn't have even thought of that.
So the changeover, the car, you have to. My Butterweger kit, different plate, adapter plate, and you have a different starter, and a lot of different things to change it over.
Yeah. How many races do you do a year?
With this now, yeah. I've only been doing two recently.
Okay.
I have Shenley Park in Pittsburgh, the Vintage Grand Prix.
Okay.
And here.
What made you come out here?
Oh, it's an interesting place. And I had been here back when they originally ran on the road streets here, mm-hmm. just as a spectator. I don't even know what year that was, in the 50s.
I wasn't even born yet.
Yeah, we flew out here in a Ford Tri-Motor.
Oh,
we drove an Ace Bristol to get here, and then this airport was just dirt at that time. And all kind of planes flew in here, and they didn't have a tower or anything. They had a guy on the ground directing traffic. it was different. So anyhow, that was... It's a different place, different thing.
Well, I'm glad you came out. I'm glad you had fun out here.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do next? Are you just waiting for next year now? Your birthday's in 2 weeks. You're about to be 92.
Yeah. Well, I have to repair an oil leak on this. I got one of the push rods leaking. And I don't know. You know, I don't. At my age, you don't plan too far into anything.
Well, I'm glad that you came out to Put-in Bay. I'm glad that you sat down and talked with us. What is your favorite memory from racing? Do you have a favorite memory?
there's so many memories, I don't know what would be favorite.
What was your favorite place to race?
Well, I raced more at Nelson Ledges in Warren, Ohio, but because that was the closest. And I put many races in there, and it's one of the nicest layouts for a track that there is around.
Get a lot of people up at that race too.
Yeah, it's gone downhill and it's come back up, and so hopefully they'll keep it going.
Well, I'm hoping, and I'm hoping that the same for Put-in Bay. I know that there was talks about not doing.
Ooh,
I'm so glad you got that on tape.
Cliff McCandless, the man had been racing for a long time.
Oh my gosh. I had found a website about specifically his car and him building it. Serial number says it's 59. He's from Grove City, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
He started the car in the serial number says it's a 1959. He didn't get it completed till about 1962. Replaced the VW with several Corvair engines, autocrossed, road race. He says, well suited to hill climbing thanks to the gearing and the suspension, the Corvair's torque. Won his class at the final Hershey Hill climb in 1970. 06 returned to Hershey Village Hill climb, driven it occasionally. Then he talks about how squirrely this thing is to drive on regular roads. It's like you twitch and the steering wheel twitches with you and the whole car starts going in that direction. He's like, you had to get reacquainted with that car to drive on a street.
Now, is this the article in Auto Week?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's a tremendously good article.
It's short, quick read. It's kind of cool. I found some other stuff about Cliff McCandless. This is racing sports cars.
Well, his company, which really pushed more into Porsche. He raced a lot of Porsches. His company actually rebuilt a lot of Porsche engines.
And Porsche 914s at 12 hours Sebring, 6 hours of Watkins Glen. What was the other thing here? Most frequent co-drivers, Dan Slotowick, JC Miller, most frequent makes Porsches. Most frequent types were 914s. Top three finishes. Data covers years 1978. Okay, great. And then there was another driver database with the Trans Am TA class competitors at 1978 SCCA Trans Am Championship, SCCA Production Sedans, Porsche 914, Porsche 914, Porsche 914. So he's done it all for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. But that brings us to the next interview that I have.
Is this the super secret interview? Or we do that already? I can't remember now.
Oh, no, that's secret later. You mean the one that nobody knew that we recorded?
We just accidentally left those on. It was not our fault. Okay.
That's in the next segment. This one is a lady, her and her husband, really were very hospitable to us while we were there. What was neat about her is that this was only her second race.
Yeah.
Ever. And she came in second. I mean, that's
started incredible. last in her class, got up to second place.
And I'll tell you right now, she's racing an Autodynamic open wheel car, formula car. At this point in time, she's going to be number one because there's nobody else in her class. This is Burke's interview with Sharon Cox.
Tell me your story.
My name is Sharon Cox.
Okay, and what did you do today?
Today I came from last place to second place in the first run, and then started the second run in second place and stayed in second place.
Awesome, awesome. What kind of car are you driving?
I drive an Autodynamic Caldwell D10 Formula Super V.
I would just call it a cool green car.
Cool green car. It's a fun green car.
And how many times have you raced this thing?
This is my second race.
Nice. And unfortunately, you were like, you had some professional lady ahead of you. I mean, there was, you know.
She was professional. 10 years experience, and my schooling did me well today.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
So, yeah, we've been watching this race for years, and I told my husband this would be fun to do, and that was 2 years ago, and last year was my first race, and I came from last to fifth last
awesome.
Year.
Yep. You live on the island, right?
We live on the island
that's
full
awesome.
Time. Yeah,
that's awesome.
This is
awesome.
Our residence. So.
Alrighty. Any other things out there? Like, were you worried at some point about something?
I was nervous when I was in second place because I know these guys were after me. After both of us, actually, not just me, after both of us. And it was very competitive, but this race is all about fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's vintage. It's not as stressful or big as the big boys, as I call them.
You going to keep doing it?
Of course. This spring, we'll be doing some more races.
Awesome.
Yeah, hope to go to Gingerman in the spring.
Any uphills or anything like that? Or?
Yep. There's an, what's that race called? The uphill race? The hill climb. There's a hill climb.
Bellefontaine.
You can come in, Bob. It's all right.
No, oh, no, that's
all,
okay.
This is all relaxing stuff, man.
This is for stuff. Letting her have her time.
Yep. So, yeah, I want to keep going. Yep.
Started at
58 years old, 59 this year, and want to keep going as long as I can.
Well, absolutely.
I mean, the guy across from you was 91 years old.
I know. Do you believe that?
That's unbelievable. Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm making
it. But he did well.
Get like a little taller car to get.
Yeah, exactly. My steer stepper to get over. No, it's all good.
Very cool. Very cool. Thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome.
I can't hear you.
Man, I love Sharon Cox.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, I'm.
Her husband's a good dude.
Yeah.
No, it was because we were basically right on the airport in, I'm assuming it used to be a hangar. Now they've turned it into a kind of a multi-purpose shop. Like half of it's for the car, but he had woodworking stuff and all, you know, and all sorts of stuff there to do anything he wanted to do. So,
well, they are locals now. Craig's a great, I love talking to Craig. Came from the Medina area.
No, cool.
So we had a lot to sit down and chat about. So anyways, we are up to our next break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the shenanigans on Put-in Bay Island.
Let's see. Put-in Bay races after hours. You will of course have to pay $3.95 to watch that segment.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back.
See you soon.
Into a crisis, times when our mind meant to get it.
driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. It's my baby calling, says I need you here. And it's a 4:30 and I'm shifting gear.
I'm not going to talk about it. Not going to talk about it. Yeah. Well, I hope you all enjoyed that interview with Sharon Cox and Cliff McCandless.
That I'm hoping Cliff shows up again. That'd be cool.
That we didn't record.
Yeah, they don't know that.
Hey, Put'n Bay Islands is all about having fun, people. You go up there, you have friends, and you have a good time. Which brings up our next segment.
What's that, Scott?
Well, just listen.
Oh, thanks a lot.
All in one day.
The deflated dog.
All in one day. I have you sleeping and then blow up Judy.
So what did he blow up?
John.
Thank you.
The blow up dog. He blew up John. And then I had blown up Judy.
Did he blow up John really tight?
It was pretty tight. Too tight. But
John had a hole.
Right out.
John had a hole.
So John spits.
Oh yeah. John was
you let him go and flies around the room.
We're talking blow up dolls, I'm assuming.
Yeah, blow up dolls. It gets better though. I mean, because apparently we talked about bachelorette parties as well.
Oh, good.
They all got straws, the penis everything.
And the penis necklaces, and the penis shot cups,
the penis gummies, and the bouncy, like, headbands. I mean, and they're all walking around like, okay.
Bachelor parties are very easy because all we have are strippers.
They're all bitches, usually.
So the
bachelorette.
Okay, he was talking about bachelors. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Bachelorette's this thing. Where it's like a game, okay? First one to get a selfie with the old guy grabbing her boob. The first people to go get a picture with a pirate. You get 5 points.
That'd be Bob.
You get five points for a pirate.
Just stay here.
You're one-stop shopping, Bob Kanza.
5 points for a fake pirate. 25 points for a real pirate. Right. Okay. So they do all these things. Well, normally they go to the boathouse. The one day the girls walk in and they're like, we need a picture with a pirate. Where would that be? And I says, well, I can tell you this. I haven't taken my clothes home from Pirate Fest yet. So I could dress up like a pirate, or you can go to the boathouse and get one with a statue. And they're like, how long would it take you to change? And I said, 2 minutes. Done. So I go, I come back down, I got my sword under the throat, got my hat on, got my corset and my leather pants, and we take a picture. And they're like, oh my God, this is awesome. So now we need a picture of someone taking a selfie, but us photobombing it. And I'm like, okay. So I take the hat off, I put a sweater on, and I'm taking a selfie, and she photobombs it. I'm like, okay, what else? Like, they can come into the cigar shop and it's, like, easy. Richard will grab your tits. Like, it's not a big deal. But the bachelor...
One-stop shop. I'm telling you, one-stop shop.
The bachelor parties come into my shop and ask me to Monica Lewinsky a cigar for them.
Well, you are a cigar.
What the hell are you? Oh. Okay.
So they want dipped cigars.
So they want me to take it and dip it and give it back to them and light it. this one time.
I went for a bank camp.
Okay. No, how much what? Did I make that day?
I
went for $100. $850. I went and I dipped it. And they were like, how do we know that you actually did it? So I put on a sundress and I dipped it in front of them and gave it to them.
Oh, two for one, huh?
I love him. I really do.
$850, and then he ends up giving it to his wife.
Oh. Wait, she the money? Oh, no, the cigar.
The cigar he ended up giving to his wife.
$850? God damn.
Well, all I called Bob and I was like, hey.
Yeah, for sure.
There's some interesting things that happen up at Put-in Bay.
I somehow forgot about that conversation. I'm glad you got it on tape. We kind of accidentally left those microphones running, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Was that an accident?
I don't remember doing it. Do you remember doing it? I don't
Well, know. Since I remembered turning the microphone towards her... yeah, some interesting stuff goes on at Put-in Bay. Remember the cigar shop if you need it dipped.
Oh my.
Clam chowder.
A specialty at Put-in Bay.
We'll be up in Put-in Bay September 18th through the 23rd. The race is September 18th through the 21st. You want to come up? You want to party? You want to have a good time? Come on up. We'll have a good time up there.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, what we decide on for next week?
I believe next week is Best One-Hit Wonders.
Ooh, Best One-Hit Wonders. Oh, I almost wanted to switch that out for Kurt Russell's Deep Dive, but...
Or Walt Disney World.
Oh, that was it. It was the Disney World thing.
That's going to take a little bit of effort there.
Research?
Yeah.
Little bit of time. I think we'll do that the week after then.
Okay. Wait, the Disney or Kurt Russell?
Disney.
Okay. One Hit Wonders, Disneyland and World, and Kurt Russell.
And then Kurt Russell.
Cool.
Love me some Kurt Russell.
Oh, heck yeah.
Has some of the best lines I've ever heard.
And when I find her, I will marry her.
Never!
And think I will be happy and my curse will be lifted.
You can go off and rule the universe from beyond the grave.
Indeed!
Or check into a psycho ward, whichever comes first, huh?
Or check into a psycho ward, whichever comes first.
I'm a reasonable man, but I see some very unreasonable things.
Do I have that?
Wait a minute. I'm a reasonable guy, but I've just experienced some very unreasonable things.
Unfortunately for Burke and I, we've got to re-record something tomorrow. But hey, that is the first time that we've ever fucked up.
Ever. Yeah. Well, this badly.
Yeah,
and neither of us are upset because it's like, you know what? 2 years? That's impressive.
Honestly,
with us,
I'm surprised that it's taken this long.
I know, right? I was just waiting for the day to be like, Burke. Yeah, I kind of erased the whole show. Yeah.
Oh ladies and gentlemen, we had that one time. We did. We did the show, and Burke was asking me questions and stuff. And I call Burke up like 2 days later. I'm like, Burke, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. The audio is
oh, that's
not
right.
Usable.
Your interview.
And he's like, oh, okay, it's okay. We'll just do that show again. So we did the show again, and I was editing it. I was like, yep, not using this. I was like, no, this is not going to happen. This is bad. This is very, very bad. Not as bad as the Truth or Dare show that we did. of which 2 days after that, Bert calls me up and goes,
yeah, you got to take that shit down.
No. I didn't realize you were going to ask questions like that. I'm like, it's Truth or Dare. What'd you think I was going to? I'll ask anything, man.
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was going to be Truth or Dick. What is Truth or Dare?
It was Truth and Dick.
That is true.
Yeah, that was fun. We have to do Truth or Dare again. We have to. We just have to come up with some stipulations this time of subjects we can't talk about. I think under my list of subjects that I can't talk about, it's just going to be in big letters, Sandy. I'm open for anything else, my friend. I'm an open book. I have no trouble just going. Oh, yeah. Been there, done that. Got to pull up the ass.
Boy Scouts, huh?
What I'm
yeah.
going to do is piss and moan like an impotent jerk and then bend over and take it up the tailpipe.
That's right. All right, people, thank you for listening. I think we had a good enough time. It was a long enough time.
Yes.
That we only recorded half of it.
We'll pick it up somehow, somewhere. It's all yeah. good.
I'm going to render this. I'm going to listen to it and see what we got. And we'll fix it in post.
For once.
You have anything coming up, Burke, that they need to know about?
No.
Put in bay.
That's it. That's all I got.
And my birthday is September 19th. We will be in Put in Bay for that.
Come up and wish Scott a happy birthday.
Come up, buy me some drinks so that I'm totally shit-faced on the 20th. All right, people. Thank you all for coming out. Thank you for listening. I hope you had a fun time with all the crap that we did.
And if you need to, go to davisanddavis.com. Check out our podcast there.
Isn't that davisanddavisshow.com?
It could be.
Yeah.
What if they wanted merch? Where would they go?
Oh, thedavisanddavisshow.com.
There you go.
For your merch needs, if you need a 7 sweater, we have it. I'm talking sweaters, and it's 101 still outside here. A little bit of Duran Duran right now.
Sweet. I like it.
All right, people. We'll be back. 2 shows a week, I think. We try.
Our best. Yeah. All right. Have a great night, everybody.
Have a good one, everyone. Bye.